do you want me to start it?
Why don't we just talk? Can't we just talk?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh, my God. It's all the siblings.
Sibling time.
Siblings.
How exciting. We've never all... It's been a second since we've had four people on a Zoom on Dumpster Dive, definitely. I don't know about mm-hmm. you guys.
It's, you know, it's a big task. It's a lot of voices.
It's a lot of voices, a lot of edit. We did one back in the olden days of the podcast in COVID. We had five at one time, and that... was tough. A bad idea.
Yeah, it's so it was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah, Kix was really struggling editing over there.
Okay, well, hopefully this one isn't.
I've never edited a day in my life.
Oh, that's the joke. She doesn't do anything on the editing front.
Raheel literally just shows up.
That he is the Kix of this dynamic.
Now, I do want to say we do have a third sibling, but I'm going to pretend like this is. This is just like how we are.
This is more than enough.
Does the third sibling listen to the pod?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Great. Hey.
Not these episodes.
No.
Which episodes?
Hilariously, he's listened to the episodes where we're like basically vaguely talking about him.
Well, I was going to say, because you do talk about him quite a bit and not always in the most positive light.
No.
So that's why I was curious about whether or not he's a listener.
One time he sent us a voice note at 2:00 in the morning telling us like what he thought about an episode we did. He was like, yeah, so obviously you guys are talking about me. We're like, ooh.
Honestly, it felt like a betrayal in the moment. It's like you're not supposed to be hearing these.
I was offended that he was in my space listening to me talk about him. You know what I mean?
God forbid he listened to something that's public domain on a free platform on his phone.
Yeah, so rude.
Or two of his family members are on.
We've never had like someone be like, I can't believe you said that about me. Right?
Kix? Well, good for you.
It's often like I call Tom afterwards and I'm like, Tom, I can't believe you said that about me.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. That's never happened.
No, Kix usually calls me and she's like, please cut out that part about where I, like, Kix always
thinks where I called Shannon Bedore like a homophobic bitch or something.
But. Well, she is.
I've never said that until now, but I imagine she's not.
I would imagine that Kix doesn't call you and give comments on things because I don't imagine that Kix listens to all the episodes.
No. I don't listen to them, but it's more of like I say the most out of pocket shit, but the things that aren't out of pocket, I get really scared about sometimes.
Yeah, she'll be like, she'll accuse someone of like making a turkey sandwich when they made a ham sandwich, and she's like, do you think we should cut that out? I'm like, no, but then you did just, what did, the other, we recorded recently and you revealed some things. Oh, she revealed that her childhood friend's dad was like a poacher in Africa, essentially. Like,
oh, had, yeah, zebra, I forgot about
had
that.
Zebra heads on his walls, okay? Oh, no. And she called me later to be like, should we cut that out where I, and brought up something completely different. I go, Kix, if anything, we should cut out the part where you were doxing your friend's elite.
I didn't dox her.
No, I know. Was a prime example of the range of what's problematic in your brain. Just makes me laugh.
I know. Well, today we're going to talk about traitors, obviously. Traitors. But I'm going to rope you guys into talking about pop culture things. And, you know, I know Tom and Kix, you guys really care about this. I know this is really, really important to you.
What?
The Super Bowl is approaching.
Oh, they're about Nikki and Megan.
No, I know. The Super Bowl is approaching. We have to talk about it.
Allegedly, it's a boring lineup. No, what I've been hearing on the streets.
No, guys, this is not the place. Wait, to
what streets?
Are you guys being serious? You care?
My brother is a huge 49ers fan,
and they're going to the Super Bowl.
I've heard it's a boring lineup because the Chiefs are going to sweep. I'm sorry.
Kix, just said he's a 49ers.
I know. Fan. We're here to talk. What am I supposed to do? Sit in silence?
Kix is going to be like, should we cut that out? From
Yeah, exactly. When you hurt my feelings. No, the Chiefs are, you know, they've won. They won last year. They've won two in the last 4 years. This is the fourth Super Bowl that they've been to. They have the greatest quarterback of all time, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are more talented, and they should win. And You know, in terms of like storylines and whether or not this is boring or not, the 49ers haven't won in 29 years. That is also coincidentally how long I've been following the 49ers. So I have never watched a Super Bowl win. So if
Have
nothing
they
else,
been to the
just
Super Bowl in 29 years?
they've been there twice. They lost in 2020 to the Chiefs. That's when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl.
Oh, the J-Lo Shakira year.
That's
That is the
right.
J-Lo
When the
Shakira.
world they announced the end of the world, essentially.
Exactly. That was right before
Beginning of the
COVID,
end.
actually.
I
It
remember
was.
COVID.
Yep.
I
And then
saw a TikTok going around of like the last moment of pure joy, and it's someone watching Shakira perform at the Super Bowl.
pretty
Because
much.
I was like, honestly, yeah.
You know, the last moment of joy that we experienced before shutdown was my brother and I and our cousin went to see Celine Dion at
That's
Barclays
right.
Center.
Oh, that makes me
Yeah.
sad. Happy for you
Makes me
guys. Sad
sad.
that, like, of course, now she's never going to perform again.
Never
Yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
God.
we knew in the moment that that's when, like, you know, they were like, oh, COVID is a real thing. Because we were like looking at people drinking out of water fountains and stuff. And we're like, we probably shouldn't do that.
Just coughing at each other in Barclays Center, crammed into elevators, and we're like, it's fine, we're here for Celine anyway.
And then, so
I
the other time the 49ers, sorry, were in the Super Bowl was in 2012, and they lost in heartbreaking fashion to the Baltimore Ravens. But since just to kind of let you know, that you will remember as the Beyoncé halftime
was gonna
show.
say,
So the
I was about to
Beyoncé.
say that is
Yep.
Beyoncé's solo halftime show because
Yep.
I know where I was.
And she brought Destiny's Child up,
She
and
did.
there was the
Up through
lights
the
went out
ground.
up
And
through the ground, and she flew into the air.
Michelle's stick figure flew out of the air against all odds, landed on her feet.
She barely made it. And then the lights went out
And
during
the
it.
lights went out. And then there was that picture of Beyoncé that she wanted off the internet
Yeah,
because
then
she was like
yeah.
flexing.
Yeah.
It was a weird photo.
Oh, I
It was
forgot
a
about
weird
that.
I do. I always like to root for the underdog. I am going to root for the 49ers. I will not be
Ah.
watching, but I
What, you won't? I
no.
think we're going to a party.
I'm not.
I think you can
Oh.
certainly
Is
come.
it tomorrow?
No, it's
No, it is
no,
next week.
next
Oh,
weekend. Tomorrow's the
okay.
Grammys.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh. Are we excited for Usher as a halftime show?
1,000
Yes. Yeah.
billion percent. I'm so excited.
Are we? I
Yeah,
don't know.
I love
I don't know.
Usher.
I'm thrilled.
I mean, Usher is like so is
He's having a
quintessential
moment.
childhood for me too.
Yeah.
Like that's my late middle school, early high school years is like Usher. Well, actually, no, early middle school years, late
Earlier, yeah.
elementary school years is like Usher, yeah, and everything, you know?
Tom bought me for Christmas 1 year Usher in concert on DVD, and it was very
I
great.
did? I don't remember that.
Yes,
Oh my
yeah.
God.
That's so
I mean,
sweet.
mom and dad probably bought it, but you did give it to me, so we were children, so.
You're right.
The fact that you said that you listened to Yeah in elementary school gave my brother a heart attack
He
just
lo
now, so.
I was just thinking I was 21. I was 21 when that
Yeah.
came out.
Cheers to
Okay, so we're excited for the 49ers. They're going to the Super Bowl, blah, 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 whatever.
What's
Obviously,
their like chant? Like, go, do you say like go 49ers?
it's Bang Bang Niner Gang.
I don't like that.
Bloop. I wish you made that
Bang Bang Niner Gang?
Bang Bang and Niner Gang.
That
Yes.
sounds
N
like the
Yank? Are
beginning
you saying
of some sort of
Niner
sexual
Yank?
act. Niner
Gang.
Gang.
Gang. Okay, that's
Gang.
a little better than Yank, but.
Bang, bang, Niner Yank.
It's and then there's also like faithful to the bay, so there's like hashtag FTTB.
Well,
If
they gotta
that
work
does
on their
anything. Yeah, no,
stuff.
they really do.
FTTB. What does that mean? For the bay?
No,
No,
faithful
faithful
to the
Oh,
bay.
faithful to the
Yeah.
Oof. But you know what, Tom? You would love their quarterback, Brock Purdy.
I'll look him up.
He's
Yeah.
so cute. He is just the cutest. He's the cutest
He's
little
a
baby. He's so sweet.
sweet little boy. And
Little
you know,
baby boy.
if you're looking for reasons to root for the 49ers, they're favorites actually in the game. They're like 2 point, I think 2.5
My
point
God, he
favorites.
looks like a child.
Yes,
That's a
yeah.
child.
He does.
He's
And this
24.
he's not for me, but
Wait, if we want to look for people for you on the team, I can certainly make some recommendations. Some
yes, let's do that.
I really appreciate that. Yeah,
yeah. I would start off with Fred Warner myself.
Okay.
Are you looking at the baby boy picture of Brock Purdy? Yeah,
he that's a baby girl, and I barely understand what that means, but that's a baby girl.
This is what that means.
No, you know that. Like,
I wish her well. She seems sweet.
So, actually, if you guys look up Anna Frey, look up Anna Frey. Okay. Frey.
She's on the team?
No. But look her up.
Okay.
And look at her face.
Okay.
She got a fucked up face? Who are we looking at here?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Wait, this is his girlfriend or wife?
TikToker goes viral because she looks like Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
So yeah, she's a sweet baby girl, Brock Purdy. She's a sweet baby girl.
And she's got a lovely story. She was the last pick in the draft.
I like that we
Anna
it
or yeah,
no. Brock. Anna Frey does not play professional football because she's a woman. But Brock Purdy was the last pick.
Whoa. Oh, wow. You were really pointed on that because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman.
I'm just saying. I seem to be amongst non-football fans, and I think I need to kind of reiterate some things. Like there historically haven't been any females that have played professional football.
I understand.
That I know.
I don't know if you know.
We've seen many. We are college football fans. It's not pro football.
And Tom played football.
Oh. What? She did.
What, you didn't know that, Nora?
No. Like really played?
Yeah, like
define really played. I mean, I was a left offensive left guard and defensive left tackle because I was say it with me fat.
At the age of what, Tom?
14.
Yeah, good. I also played freshman football for a grand total of 4 days.
What happened?
My position was left out. I was left out of the lineup.
Right. And
I
said, you gotta throw that in your type five.
Yeah. I was the mascot in middle school, which is my claim to fame. So that was as close as I got to the football field. Was on it, but not in for my plane.
Wow, guys, that's really impressive. I've never done any sport.
A whole bunch of athletes in this group.
Not me.
If anything, I'm an athlete first.
Okay, but Kix, you were a childhood like superstar.
I was an
athlete.
Yeah.
She was Kix, a climber.
She was one of the fastest rock climbers in the world in her age category. Don't downplay
really?
It. Yeah, literally. I was, she went to worlds.
So like you understand like those free solo people, the people that climb, like I personally would never do it,
but I understand the process of it.
Well, that process is you just kind of start climbing. You don't have any ropes or anything.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes though they do. There is someone that will kind of follow them up. Mm-hmm. That they are connected, similar to kind of like ice climbing. How they're not really connected to anything, but another person. It's not safe.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty heinous. I never did anything like that, but
like I understand the appeal of climbing something, but I don't understand like why would you take away the safety?
It's because they're crazy and adrenaline seekers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it attracts crazies. As someone who was in it for many, many years, like the people who do that kind of stuff are just.
It's a weird culture. It has a
bizarre
culture.
It's a very weird culture.
It.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to really explain how weird it is, but.
Yeah. It's just like a lot of like unclean, like no one showers and you live in, everyone's in like
tents and
trapped in like 2002. It's just like a weird, like the people are weird.
Okay. Well, speaking of crazy people and cults, a lot of eyes are on the NFL right now because.
I was about to say the Barbs.
We'll get there. And there's actually a lot of crazy happening. We have the Barbs, Nikki versus Megan, which is actually why I really wanted to talk pop culture with you guys, because obviously Tom and Kix are my only touch into youth. And then there's Justin versus Britney. That's also back up. But before we get to that, I just have to touch on this really quick, because last week, Raheel, you told me about how Justin Juszczyk, right?
Kyle Juszczyk's
wife made a jacket that Taylor Swift wore, and now Taylor Swift made it popular And now that woman, Mrs. Juszczyk, we'll call her.
Kristen Juszczyk.
Kristen Juszczyk is making these like fun, cool looking sports jackets, is how I would call it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, wow, she really made like sports and fashion a thing, which is now getting a lot of heat because this is actually like a part of hip hop culture that's existed for a really, really long time. And now this woman, this white woman, comes in and gets to like make it her own because Taylor Swift made it popular and then the white girls got on it. And there's just like a general whiteification of the NFL happening again, which is like all linked to Taylor Swift. So let's all say it. She sucks. But Taylor Swift, also her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, I don't know if you guys know they're together. He has been getting fades and now they're calling it the Travis Kelce haircut. A fade. The fade that anybody can go get at like a black barber shop.
Okay, multiple times. Wait, okay, a couple things. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's Taylor or Travis's fault that everyone is coming around to black culture. Like they're just coming around to black culture because they're the fan base is deeply white and uncultured. Yes. So like I don't think that that's correct. I'm not in the camp of like that's that she's done anything wrong or that she's I don't hate her. Like I think she's annoying and the fan base is a little annoying, but like I don't think that that's their fault. Like the fan base just doesn't understand no one goes and gets fades in Milwaukee. Like, well, that's not true. I'm saying white people in suburbia in Milwaukee don't go and get fades. Sure. In New York, like, we get fades at the barbershop all the time. Obviously, I know that that's, like, a black barbershop, like, style. But it's also, like, something that everyone has co-opted, unfortunately. And I don't know. I think it's silly to name it a Travis Kelce haircut. Like that.
Oh, yeah, but that's what it's being called now.
I think it's also just, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of issues with Taylor Swift. I wish her well. But also the like them trying to be like normal people while also like contributing to like global warming is, I think, a bigger in my mind, that's what we should be talking about. But I get where you're coming from. And I also understand like how white people continue to co-opt other cultures and make them quote unquote their own. And it's not surprising. No.
I'll say this. So, you know, the thing about the jackets and that actually being part of like black culture and then, you know, this white lady, I guess, Kristen Juszczyk, this is the first time that I've heard of that being an issue. I think I had heard something about the Travis Kelce fade thing. Sure, those are like problematic things, I guess you could say, but that's like, you know, that's a conversation about a subculture within a subculture. Like that's a very niche thing that you can, I mean, you can make an argument against it and all those things, right? The bigger thing that's happening with Taylor Swift and the NFL right now is that Taylor Swift or like the MAGA people are out completely against Taylor Swift right now.
Which is
the bigger deal, right? So they're the MAGA people are saying, well, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are riding each other's coattails so that they get more and more popular. And then Taylor Swift is going to encourage people to vote. And they don't want people to vote because, you know, they're like against Swifties or whatever. So right now, the conversation within the MAGA people is that Taylor Swift is a force for bad, that she's like a demon of some sort that's going to keep Trump away. Right.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. I think it's actually insane.
It's not deep fake. Like
but the thing is like their insecurities, their acknowledgement that they are the lesser party, like there's less of them is so blatantly obvious, you know, like,
but wasn't she like their white queen for a long time too?
She was. Yeah,
she was. And I think that's a bigger part on her. Well, yeah. And also I think it's a bigger betrayal to like the white country people who are like all about Taylor Swift and like her becoming more and more progressive is like such an issue for them because it's like, how could you do that to us? You're white and wealthy.
Exactly. I think she was their country girl until like 2018 when she came out against Marsha Blackburn was the first time. And they've just kind of been like weary of her ever since. And as she's gotten more and more popular, and as she's been, you know, kind of more vocal about like human rights and stuff like that, they've slowly turned against her. They haven't had to deal with her because she's just kind of existed in this other thing. But it's kind of obvious that she's going to be a voice of some sort in 2024, right? So they're just kind of getting out ahead of it. The place where I fall on it is like, you know, once when the relationship first started, as a sports fan, you get a little bit annoyed at the fact that Taylor Swift is on TV all the time. And, you know, you there is like the whole background of Taylor Swift knowing when to make news and how to be popular and all those things. So you see a little bit of that. But I think for me, you know, Taylor Swift is, I think, a force for good at the end of the day. I think anybody that writes the 10-minute version of All Too Well is kind of a force for good. I think that's a great song. So I will, you know, I'm Team Taylor in this.
Are you wearing a red cardigan underneath there?
Riel is a Swiftie,
by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
he's a Swiftie. We always start this conversation, by the way, whenever we talk about Taylor Swift, we're like, she sucks. And then by the end, we're like, you know, she's really not that bad.
She's great.
I kind of love her.
She
like,
doesn't
she's
bother
actually
me.
Really fun. She, I don't think she
understands, like, to your point about the jacket and the haircut, I don't think she gets what she's doing sometimes, which can be very harmful, but at the
because
same time,
because she doesn't give credit where credit is due. She, like, popularizes the thing, and oftentimes Taylor Swift will not take a moment to be like, I'm not the one that came up with this. Like, we're not, this isn't our thing, and I think that that can be really frustrating for people whose cultures are the ones that are being, like, popularized through her. I think that's frustrating, but
I think the other thing is that she doesn't acknowledge how complicit she is in some of the narratives around her, right? Like the Kanye thing or whatever, right? Like, yes, she had a complaint, but also, you know, she was complicit in it, and she is complicit in the fact that, you know, she knows how the media works, she knows how blogs work, she knows all of these things, right? So her complaints about, like, being hounded by the paparazzi and her being a big part of the news, she also forces those. And it's very obvious that she knows, right? So I can get why people would be annoyed by her. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, how much can you really, you know, what level of expectation can you have from a celebrity, right?
Now you did say she's a force for good, but she is going to be taking her private jet from Japan to Arizona to make sure that she gets to her boyfriend's football game on time. So.
Yeah, but like, you want her on Alaska Air? What do you want?
I know.
I brought this up to our mom because the amount of CO2 emissions that she's just like pumping through the fucking air is bonkers. But Marion was like, what else is she supposed to do?
I'm team, what the fuck else is she supposed to do? And also, climate people have come out and said the imprint she's making is not nearly as large. There are much bigger issues at hand that are making larger imprints on, like, global warming than her flying from Tokyo to Las Vegas. I don't think, like...
She's also flying from, like, Milwaukee to Kansas City.
But what
which
is she supposed to do? Like,
get in a
like
fucking
her?
Car.
Is she supposed to get on the Acela?
But like, only an electric car, guys. Only an electric car.
No, I think it's hilarious, like, how often she's on that fucking PJ and just, like, with her 15-minute flights. I'm like...
She's a girl on the go.
Lady.
Listen, okay, hold on. Let's just say it right now. All of us are like, hey, we should be careful about the environment. But I'm an environmentalist, except for Amazon Prime. Because if I can Amazon Prime something within a second, which is so
fucking
bad
she's
for
here tonight.
The environment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
Also, it's so funny because, like, now Fox News keeps commenting about all of, like, the CO2 stuff for Taylor Swift's jet. And I'm like, oh, now you guys
so you agree.
Now they
climate
care.
Change is real. So you agree.
Yeah, so you agree. No longer your white queen.
All right. Well, guys, can you tell us about what's going on with Nicki Minaj?
Yes,
and
I got it.
Meghan?
Yes, happily.
Okay, so
okay,
Meghan released.
Wait, Tom.
What?
Do you want to talk Megan and all do Nicki? Not as
sure
them,
if
saying,
you want to carry that burden. I'm happy
oh
to
oh my god
so
I will carry that burden because as a former Barb, I think it's my duty to educate. So
okay, former. Duty to educate.
I want another
what?
Back.
Yeah, oh Raheel, you're gonna learn right now why.
So
why all of everybody's a former Barb unless you're still a Barb, which in which case you're a crazy person for still being a Barb.
So I think it really all begins with No. Miss Onika herself, because
wait, no, we got to start with Hiss though. That's what started
I
it all.
I actually think it goes much
Because okay, his
start
came,
with his, start
I feel
with
like
his, and then
his,
we'll go back.
His well, is what is his is what triggered her to then become like to dive to just like have a full mental breakdown.
Yes. Okay.
So Megan Thee Stallion is coming out with an album soon. And
we already have a question.
This is because I'm an old person. Is it Megan the Stallion or is it Megan the Stallion? I never know.
The it's the.
Is the okay. It's the, all right. Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Hot girl Meg. She also, I just want to get this, especially for those that are new to this feud. I want to clarify because the context clues are important here. She's titled Megan the Stallion because she is a literal 6 foot tall Amazonian rapper goddess woman, and
no,
people
like actually
people don't realize yeah. that she's like tall, which this will come into play later because oh, it has to I do with the this. Disses on her are really crazy, but like she's like a proud I'm 6 foot tall queen, which is why she's the Stallion. So Megan released a song called Hiss, which is a diss track about the whole rap industry mm-hmm. because ever what? Since Tory Lanez shot her in the foot, which I don't know if you're aware of that she got shot.
Yeah.
Essentially all so much of the rap industry is especially male rappers have come up on Tory Lanez's defense or claiming that Megan fabricated the story that like they like it was an accident or that it didn't even happen at all. And Tory Lanez was convicted and is in prison for shooting her in the foot. Mm-hmm. And so many people have so much to say about her, essentially, because I think they think that her come up was a result of her being like a victim, and that triggers people who are anti-victim, you know, that like, and no, I'm like, serious. Like people are yeah. anti-women and anti-women speaking up for themselves. And so seeing a woman succeed after she got shot, I guess, was upsetting.
That's too much. That's a line too far.
The and thought so, of someone being like, the platform I run on is anti-victim.
Yeah. And they are out there. Yeah. So a lot of people don't, a lot of rappers don't like her because of that. I don't think the community at large is very like team Megan always because like she went through some awful shit. Also this will also come into play. Her mother passed away very, I think during COVID or maybe it was before I don't know when that happened, but her mother passed away. She got shot in the foot. A lot's going on, right? Let's all be team Meg. Of course.
Of course.
So she releases a song called Hiss, and the beginning of the song, she says, end quote, I just want to kick this shit off by saying, fuck y'all. I ain't going to clear my name on a motherfucking thing. Every time I get mentioned, one of y'all bitch ass get 24 hours of attention. I'm going to get this shit off my chest and lay it to rest. So that's how she starts it. Because she's like, no matter what I do, you have to say something. So I'm just going to clear it. So we're done. And I don't want to acknowledge anything ever again. So she has this
great mission statement.
It honestly is. And yeah. she has this whole diss track called Hiss. It is amazing. Please go watch the video. The video is unbelievable. And she essentially, and no one rap, in my opinion, no one raps better than her in this day and age. Like she just, her wordplay is great and she can freestyle and just drag people.
And her breath control is incredible.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. So the line in this that sent Miss Onika into a tailspin goes as follows. These hoes don't be mad at Megan. These hoes mad at Megan's law. Now, for those that don't know, ooh. What that's saying is they're mad that you can't have sex with underaged people,
that's
which
right.
is Megan's law. And so now I've listened to a couple different podcasts and things trying to like wrap my head around who that is directed at. And everyone is kind of like, that's just directed at like the community at large because mm-hmm. a lot of people in the industry, in the music industry, participate in this and defend
Diddy,
people.
Allegedly P. Diddy.
Yeah, R. Kelly. Like
R. Kelly, P. Diddy. I mean, some people have thoughts about Jay-Z, but you know.
Yeah, and Drake. And
yeah.
I was listening to The Read, which everyone should go listen to The Read, especially Black History Month. The Read is like number one black pop culture podcast. They're the best. And they were talking about how they were like, that line feels like more of a drag on Drake than it does on anyone else, because Drake has had, he had those allegations about being with what's her face?
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. So
wait, 11?
11, yes. Yes.
What?
Yes. Yeah. They were like besties and texting each other and weird stuff.
Yeah. Disgusting. And he used to do the same thing with Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
So Nikki, and I'll transition over to you in 1 second, Kix. Nikki took this to heart because Nikki is a proud wife of a convicted sexual felon who has raped women under the age, and Nikki and her husband have tried to pay women to stay silent and not speak on the rape allegations. Also, Nikki's brother is a convicted rapist for the same situation, underage women. So Nikki takes this line about Megan's Law as if she's coming for her. Now, and Kix, take it away.
She kind of is. So... Where to begin? I brought up the lyrics to Nikki's diss track, but she released a couple days. Oops, sorry. Sorry. This ad, hold on.
Wait, can you just turn the audio
down?
Turn
the volume down.
I'm trying, yeah. It won't go away. Okay. So Nicki Minaj takes to Instagram Live, which she tends to do quite often. If you are aware, some of the craziest thing she said on Instagram Live, essentially just dragging the fuck out of Megan Thee Stallion. And so then she's like saying, like, I'm gonna come out with a diss track, which I also appreciate that, like, this is like the girls are fighting in diss tracks and
it's
not
so
fighting
fun. No, it's fun. It's like late 90s, early 2000s hip hop.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
And if you ever need to hear a really solid diss track between women too, go listen to Sheether, which is Remy Ma's diss track on Nicki Minaj. She essentially drags her for filth in a way that's so much deeper than what Megan says about her. Mm-hmm. She literally is like, go your brother fucks kids. Like, she literally like says shit like that, like, in her rap. So go listen to Sheether. It's amazing. So yeah.
So Nikki has had like ample reasons to be canceled or called out, and has never taken quite literally ownership of anything. As a former Barb, it's more of like a fun, she's fun because she's crazy kind of thing. She also hates women for sure.
Your face is a law. You're like, oh, okay.
So her and Cardi have had beef in the past.
Physical beef too. They
physical shoes thrown. So love it's not that. Surprising that she's coming for Megan this hard. I will also say that Nicki Minaj herself has written a pretty impeccable diss track on her flop album that came out, the last one that came out. It's just about, she calls out like all of the men in the industry.
Oh, the industry.
Oh, Barbie Dreams.
Barbie Dreams. It's really good until it sucks at the end. But anyways. And so her biggest thing, I think she feels threatened by Meg Thee Stallion, because Meg Thee Stallion is a lot like her musically, in the fact that they can both like freestyle. They're both like in their body. I don't know. So that's kind of setting the scene. So she releases this song like less than 24 hours after Hiss comes out, and it's called Bigfoot.
Once again, referencing the fact that Nicki Minaj is like 4'9" and Megan Thee Stallion is 6'1".
Right. and it's also talks a lot
cover.
About
describe the album cover for those that don't know.
It is, I will say in Nikki's defense a little bit, it is a little, it's a cute album like cover. It has her heel in like a foot, and there's like some crime scene tape, and then the ground is like broken because someone stepped on it quite large. So her creative team, I appreciate her creative team for that.
Her creative team is her. I don't think anyone, her team is small.
Also, I feel like, I guess what she's trying to say, but what it shows is that like Megan Thee Stallion is ruffling her feathers and causing chaos in her life because of how much of a presence she is. So it's almost like you're accepting the fact that you're so fucking bothered by this like amazing woman who exists in the world. So it's just,
and this is the worst, one of her worst songs I've ever heard next to
no, it is awful next to
Grand Piano
and Ganja Burn.
Ganja Burn.
just my question, Bigfoot I'm assuming is also referencing the shooting of the foot.
It is,
right?
Yeah, it's the shooting of the foot. It's also a huge monster, and it's also the actual size of her foot.
Okay, so there's a lot of horrible things that are said in this this really like low blow shit. And to Megan's point, like Megan's diss track is about everyone once again, and Nicki Minaj has said some horrible things on a diss track, but it's just about men, so I guess that we can move on from that. But what's one of the lines
you need to
that,
just do the Bigfoot line, like the
that
like
line
the
is so funny.
Yes, okay, so Bigfoot, but you still a small fry, swearing on your dead mother when you lie. So she starts coming for her size, and then also starts coming for her mother who passed away.
Yeah.
And then for a free beat, you could hit Megan Raw. If you a ghostwriter, party in Megan's jaw. So she's saying that Megan is actually not writing everything herself.
And she pays people to write for her by giving them blowjobs.
Yeah, yeah, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Big bitch, she like 6 foot. I call her Big Foot. The bitch fell off. I said, get up on your good foot.
That, I have to say, that line does make me laugh.
Wait, can you repeat that, those bars for us? Sure.
Bad bitch, she like 6 foot, in parentheses, I call her Bigfoot. Brr. The bitch fell off. I said, get up on your good foot.
Okay.
The thing is, you say Nicki and Megan are in the same tier of like rap level. Her bars
bars are not barring.
They don't. She does that thing where she rhymes the same word with the same word. A race with China and something with China.
I do like that. But
she just changes her voice.
But
like,
really,
China.
Okay, this is the last one that I'll do. But really, I'm a sweetie pie, P-R-T-T-Y, but I'm P-E-T-T-Y. Her husband is last name is Petty, so she's also
which
known
I'm
Miss
convinced
Petty.
Is the only reason she married him is because his last name is Petty, so she can be Miss Petty.
Yeah, and then she goes on to talk about how Megan like fucked her best friend's man.
Who hasn't? You know,
who fuck you get shot with no scar. So allegedly she doesn't have a scar on her foot, which is not true. Also, she's rich, so she can do a lot of things to get that away.
And then
she talks about DaBaby, who's also like a famous homophobe.
But the end part where she's talking, where she threatens her at the end. You should.
Oh yeah. What does she do that?
Well, it's quite long. Okay. Where do you
at the
go?
Very end, she going. Stops rapping. And she's
when she's talking, hey. She says, okay, but I'm very serious, ho, the things you've lied about, even pertaining to your mom. You don't want them out, okay? Now, since you think it's funny to speak about people's family, we'll all join in. We'll play the reindeer games soon as your new nose heals. And soon your well will leave that for the second installment.
But that last part, she goes, hey, so... You don't want
to my
your
supporters.
Family.
I love you. May God bless you. And she's like whispering. And then,
yeah.
Anyways, it's not good. And now the Barbs who are still barbing are vandalizing Megan's mom's grave.
Yeah.
And also they're like doxing people on like TikTok who like are making fun of the song and like.
And I think. Just- I think Nicki has fully entered Trump territory of like the way she can incite violence by just like saying one word. Like she's created a fan base that of internet trolls. It's literally the same thing as Trump to me. And she's dangerous. And I think that she needs to go away for a while because I really think like she's about to go on tour and the tour itself. I'm like, what's going to happen at this tour? If like she mentions like, she's going to live on a mic. That lady is going to say stuff and
she says whatever she wants.
And people are going to be, it's like a Trump rally. I'm not kidding. Like it's just, And I don't mean to,
I have tickets to.
Yeah, Case does have tickets to it. I want to take that back. I don't mean to say that. I don't mean like black women are dangerous when I say that word. I just mean like she is inciting dangerous behavior in her fan base, which she should do. She should know better than that as an adult woman.
Yeah. Also, like now she's like teaming up with fucking Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro was like talking shit about Megan Thee Stallion, and then she's like retweeting his shit, and like now they're buddies. Ben fucking Shapiro, yeah. Like get the
who
fuck
hates
out of
black
here.
People, especially probably black women.
Famously, 1000%
hates black women.
Yeah, it doesn't know what a WAP is. It's ridiculous. Thinks it's a disease.
Well,
so,
he's never achieved. Something.
He's never achieved WAP.
Well. Peace
so that's yeah, that's in
barks.
Long. That's what's going on.
Yeah, real.
I have a question. You were an ex. I'm sorry. Are they called Barb?
Barb. Yeah, because she's Barbie.
Yeah,
Barbie. Yeah.
So my question is, when you were, I guess, a full on Barb, what was the appeal of that? Is it just like she's? I mean, I'm sure she's an entertaining person, and you like, you know, she's like funny and. And all those things, but what was like the, you know, why Nikki for you?
Yeah, why Kix?
it's such a serious question. Thank you for asking. I'm happy to speak on that. I think that.
Thank you. I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll circle back on that next week. No. I have loved. I previously loved Nicki Minaj like for a very long time. Like I just genuinely like her old music a lot. Mm-hmm. And like until the last couple albums, like she hasn't, the music is not good, but like she was like the first like rapper that I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's like arguably talented. So yeah, totally. That's why I really liked her. I was never like a diehard like Twitter troll Barb like some of these girls are, but I do like her music a lot. My best friend Michael and I went to her concert when we were in high school, and then have tickets to her next concert.
Are you gonna
well.
Go?
I don't know. Actually,
are you gonna go?
I would sell those tickets.
What?
I would sell the ticket.
I mean, yeah, we could sell them for a lot.
A healthy profit.
Yeah, for a healthy profit. But yeah, no, I genuinely do like her music. I also think the camp of it all is like pretty funny to me, mm-hmm. just from being on the outside of it. Again, I'm not like a Twitter troll, X troll, all of that.
Yeah. And also,
my interaction or my consumption of Nicki Minaj is very limited. But what I do remember is, I guess it was Monster, right? On the Kanye album. And she is clearly the best part of that song.
Yeah,
and she's on that song with like the heaviest hitters of the time, right?
Yeah.
So, as she mentions.
Yeah.
Best no album out.
Yeah, feature with no album out. Yeah.
Yeah.
50K.
50K for a verse.
but it feels like it was very quick that she went from like being an artist to just being like this huge celebrity, right? Who was like inspiring all of these followers and things like that. So I don't know.
I think where her downfall is just that she is inherently misogynistic.
Yeah.
She never felt challenged. I'm speaking for her, but it seemed that she never felt challenged in the industry until Cardi B came up very fast and very successfully. And then the second that happened, she was angry and hated her guts. So mm-hmm. like there is a level of like jealousy and misogynistic tendencies with her because she wants to be the only female rapper in the game.
But she claims that she wants to nurture female talent.
And she claims that she
talent.
Is the yeah. only female rapper
no, but
in the
she,
game. We're,
but she claims that she wants to help women rap. Like she, like, that's what's so confusing about her is she claims that she's like, I want the landscape to be crowded with female rappers. But now
but
that
she wants
is the
to
case.
Be the best.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she wants to be the best. But she also... But that's not, she had a huge feud with Lil' Kim.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. I mean, Lil' Kim did it first, but, and she, like had a huge feud with her because of that. And I think because once again, Nicki is feeling challenged, felt challenged that there was someone who was better than her. I mean, Lil' Kim does the kind of same stuff, but she's an icon. So it's a little bit different in my opinion. But
yeah. And I think that there was something like really fun at this time when Nicki Minaj came out of like, it was like Drake and Lil Wayne and like Kanye and Jay-Z. Like there was a lot mm-hmm. of like intense male hip hop energy, and it was really fun when Nicki Minaj came
she's,
out. And
like to her core, she was being like silly, like, and yeah, I mean that seriously. Yeah.
Exactly, like all of her like silly ass fucking voice changes, like it was so much fun. And then yeah, I think it just becomes, it's like, it's just, it's a shame when that shit like this happens, because like I feel the same way about like Kanye fucking West. It's like mm-hmm. I listen to his old shit and it just makes me so fucking sad, because he's a very talented but deeply unwell person, and mm-hmm. so is Nicki Minaj is also going down that same route. And it's like you see this shit happen with people that were really popular and really fun, and then suddenly there's like this shift that happens where you're like, why are you becoming like the worst version of the things that you used to make fun of? Mm-hmm. And like you see that with comedians, you see that with like Dave Chappelle, like you just, and it just, it's heartbreaking because you're like, why did this happen?
Well,
was
I think,
this you this whole time?
I think a couple well first, the thing that's different about Kanye and Nicki to me is that Kanye had a very public, clear shift post his mom dying so suddenly. Yeah. And so, like, I think you can direct be like, okay, he's unwell because trauma happened and it's not being dealt with. With Nicki, it feels like this bizarre slow burn into where mm-hmm. she is now. I don't really know that there was, like, an incident. But then also something that is a common thread with all of this, which is also, I think, a common thread with Trump supporters and people who are can be internet trolls, is I think being chronically online is deeply unhealthy mm-hmm. and literally turns you into a monster, because we're not supposed to know a callback. We're not supposed to know what everyone thinks about us, because it's not worth your energy. Like
we
mind
also
your own
are
business
fed, and
it's
and
just
we're
not
also
worth it.
Fed what we want to be fed, which is so brilliant about the internet. So when people like Nicki Minaj are logging on, she's seen and feeling so validated, because 45 million of her fans are on her Instagram live being like, yes queen, like fuck Megan, like all, so she, it's just like, it's giving. And you bring up the Trump stuff because it's a similar thing of like people who are think like that see someone so famous who's also a thinking like that, and they're like, dope, like now I have someone that I can like follow endlessly. I mean, her barbs are like famously horribly toxic, so that's, I've always said I was Barb adjacent, like I'm just like ooh, in the background. But
I think it's
the chronically online, but it's also the genius about all of these social media apps is that they know what we want to see.
Which is where Raheel wins, because he's not on any social media.
Smart. Your brain is better for it.
Only LinkedIn.
I don't know about that. It's filled with other nonsense. But I think another part of this is just like how, and I've thought this about Kanye a lot, which is just how weird fame is, right? Especially for if you are an aware person. Like Kanye West was a very aware person. And I think he was a producer for a really long time. So he was like, he knew of what fame looked like for like big rappers and stuff like that, right? I think about, there's a song on, I think on the first album called Never Let Me Down, which is like him and Jay-Z and I forget who the third person is. And I think about that person, like that Kanye rapping, talking about his grandfather and talking about like his mother and how he sat in those like, you know, protests and stuff like that. And I think about the person who he is now, you know, who's been famous now for 20 years and who's just kind of been in the center of all that. And it's an unnatural thing. You're not mm-hmm. supposed to be that famous, like, you know, especially with like the internet and stuff like that, that kind of like constant 100% nonstop validation is not good for anybody. So that's why, like, you know, when you look at somebody like Taylor Swift or something like that, you're like, okay, a lot of this stuff is nuts, a lot of this fandom is nuts. And then you look at her actions and stuff like that, you're like, I don't know how a person is supposed to manage all of this stuff. I don't know what's right or what's wrong. And I think it's very easy to just kind of, you know, you can get sucked up by it. I'm sure it's very, very like intoxicating.
Yeah,
totally.
We do have to talk about traitors, and we've been talking about this for the pop culture stuff for a long, for 50 minutes.
I'm looking at my board. It says 5-0.
Okay, great. Real quick, Justin Timberlake sucks. I think we can all agree on that, right?
I don't think there's much to say about that. He just said that he was performing "Cry Me a River" and was like, I want to apologize to fucking nobody. Because he's such a fucking dickhead.
Disgusting.
At least apologize to your wife for cheating on her.
Or, like, Janet fucking Jackson for ripping her top off. Like,
yes. He said, I want to take a moment to give a public apology to absolutely fucking no one. It's like, okay.
You also could have just said nothing.
It's so much easier to just apologize and move on than it is to live your life being a villain.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't mean it, just say it.
Also, like, I think we've kind of reached the end of Justin's talent, right? Like, I think we've yes. It was very good. Excellent run, you know, boy band.
Talk 100% about cultural appropriation at its finest.
I mean, hello.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great run in the 2000s. That's those two albums, sure. You know,
2020 was pretty good.
That's the end. Love I think Sounds is an amazing album.
Oh, it's amazing. I think the three albums, the Cry Me River album, Future Sex Love Sounds, and the 2020 Experience, those three are, I think, great albums. You don't like the Jay-Z album at all?
No, 2020, the suit and tie, it lost me there. But I was already annoyed with him from like the Social Network and like him trying to be an actor and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah. He was good in it.
Nah, I don't know.
I don't know about anyways,
but I saw a clip of him on like Jimmy Fallon this week, and it annoyed. Like I don't. Again, I'm an old person.
Well, I hate Jimmy Fallon. So
yeah. So
I'm an old person, so I don't know how appropriate. You know the W version of the N word. I don't know if we can say that or not.
Okay. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Kix is gonna text us later to cut this.
I'm assuming you're not. You don't mean cracker.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, he has that energy of like.
No, he has the W.
Yeah,
rhymes with the other bad word energy.
Yeah,
it's very Pauly Shore.
It is very much like late 90s white boys who like to, it's who he was when he was coming up. Like that's what he is. And
Fauches. Okay, well, do we want to dive into the traitors?
Let's do it.
Okay,
guys.
Can I pee real quick?
Oh, yes, pee break. And you know, it's 50 a good minutes. Point for us to put in a commercial.
And we're going to take a break for an ad. Please subscribe to both Dumpster Dive and The Reality Is, but Dumpster Dive doesn't have ads, so pop over there if you don't want to hear this ad.
Also, social media is the worst except for right now when we tell you to follow people.
Exactly.
So to start our traitors recap off, can I just kind of like recite something to everyone here?
Yes, please.
I would love it.
Please.
I am very extra baby. I do too much because you do too little. But tonight, you're doing way too much because you know you're going to get banished. So you're trying to put the heat on me, which is a crop of BS. You're a Big Brother winner, not once, but twice. And either way, you have knowledge of this game. So if there was really a mastermind, it sure wouldn't be a dolled up housewife, baby. That would not be it. Let's not forget Burgalicious voted for you last night. And who got to murder one Burgalicious? Why? Because Dan thought he was able to be murdered. Is that not correct?
Bravo.
Bigfoot well by done. Nicki Minaj.
Oh my goodness. Would we all agree that this was maybe the best Traitors episode to date?
I think it argues on like some of the best reality TV that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
My life did I think Phaedra Parks and Dan would have to go head to head in any sort of capacity, let alone on a television show with this cast of all stars. So setting the scene felt really impossible. And then when we got here, it was so unexpected because I think the last Traitors, there was kind of some rumblings in the core group of Traitors that they were going to vote out Cody, like with the house. So the fact that this came out of nowhere and Phaedra pulled all of that. She is a lyricist. I mean,
she was
ready, even though she didn't know she needed to be ready.
The Dan versus Phaedra thing, once again, I agree with you. Not in my docket of things that I ever thought would happen in my lifetime, because I've been a Dan Gieseling fan for so long. And oh my God, I've been a Dan Gieseling fan for like 15 years. Like I'm obsessed. I used to be obsessed with him because he played Big Brother masterfully. Like it was just insane to watch. But this game, it just didn't translate for him the same way. Because you can't lay as low unless your name is Sheree in this game.
Unless you're, yeah, yeah. Because everybody knows she's not a traitor. So she can literally just sit there and be quiet.
She's the best. Okay, I was going to ask you guys the history on Dan. Because we hate Dan because this is our first meeting of Dan.
Yeah. Mm.
I hate the way he talks like this during confessionals.
But that's how Big Brother people talk.
Yeah, it's Big Brother. When they're in a confessional, they're like, hey, it's me. I'm like, they scream.
Yeah, because their confessionals, they film like in the house. And it's often like after a challenge. So they're having to like narrate the story like 15 minutes after it just happened. Versus like the housewives can like sit and have a moment, two months, if you will, before they have to do that.
It's but we hate Dan. Dan is so awful. So this was a really fun episode.
I understand why you hate him, but if you want to learn more about Dan, I said this the last time, or I said this on some other podcast, I can't remember, but Google Dan's funeral. It is
excuse me.
No, I'm serious. Dan's funeral, Big Brother. So Big Brother season, I believe 14. It was his second season he was on. It is 14 kicks, I think, isn't it?
I think 14 is the super fan guy.
No, it's that season. It's the super fan guy's season. That Dan doesn't win the season, but he is put up on the block, and he plays the best from the bottom, which is why I thought after last week's Traitors episode, I was like, I actually think he could finagle himself out of the situation, because I think what he did
such a good job with Janelle's situation.
But he does a really good job of playing when he has no cards in his hand. Like, he has he's good at getting out of shitty situations because he can like tell a story. And so Dan's funeral, what he does is he essentially gets in front of the house. He's put up on the block. There's the veto is over. So there's no way he can get off of the block. And he's put up next to someone who, like was not a threat to anyone at the time. And he gets up and says, this is my funeral. I'm just saying bye to everyone. And he gets like emotional and has this whole thing. And then he's like, and I also just want to tell you that, and it just starts rattling off like how, who's working with who fucked over who. And they're all lies. He made them up. And so this one girl is like sobbing. She's like,
oh no,
why are you lying about me? Like, she's like, I didn't do that. And he's like, well, everyone will find out when they watch. And like does this insane thing. And he gets out of it. He doesn't go home. And he ends up going to final two in the game. He is really good at that game. I think with this game though, he's not as much of a personality too. Like, this is about kind of celebrities, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the celebrity persona. He's like a game player. So yeah. Janelle though has, Janelle is a game player, but she also has that it factor, like celebrity persona. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hate him because they think that he's like kind of a dud. He has got like and also his entitlement as soon as he came into the game of being like, I'm the one that's going to definitely win this. And initially when he was like, Phaedra's just a housewife, I was like, fuck off.
Had no idea what was coming.
That's where he fucked up. He should have studied. I guess they didn't know who was in the cast beforehand, but he should not have underestimated the housewives. Also, Phaedra is a lawyer, so.
Yes.
Which is not being talked about enough, and a funeral director.
For me, you know, I've hated Dan for a while. And when this thing started, like when he was like talking about his big plan and people won't see it coming, in the back of my head, I was like, this motherfucker better not go for Phaedra. Like, to me, the logical thing is to go for Parvati.
Yeah. Right?
Because she's also on the board. So I was like, why would he possibly do this unless he thinks that he can pull off something incredible? And then when he went into his thing, I was just like, what the? Like, this is what you're going with? I had the same reaction that Kate had, which she was just like, no. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me logically.
And my Burgalicious was problematic to you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, when he's talking about, like, the breakfast reactions, I don't know. It's probably not, but I thought it felt a little bit racist to me. I mean, I was like,
I see that.
Like,
yes. Yeah, definitely.
I definitely see that. But I do think, I actually think this was a smart move because he's trying to protect Parvati's game. And because in the end, his end goal is not to get if he was to survive, he was like, I don't want to get Parvati out because, like, Parvati is someone who I can, like, cling to for the remainder of this game. Phaedra, I can't cling to her because she'll win. Like, yeah. He's playing the Big Brother game and the Survivor game where you want to bring... That's the one thing about this game that's a little confusing and that they're not all thinking about is about who they want to play with till the end. Because the end of the game is a little weird. They have to, like, sit around a fire and essentially, like...
they might change it this time. Maybe. Though. We don't know.
But I think that, like, you don't want to go till the end with someone like Phaedra because Phaedra is literally on no one's radar.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is when Phaedra's standing there around the fire with likely Burgalicious and Sheree, I'm not kidding. Like, I think that's going to be it. And they're going to say, no, we don't think any traitors are here. We'll split the money, the three of us. And then, because why would you think that Phaedra's a traitor? And then it's going to be, well, she's a traitor. She's going to take all the money and she wins. So Dan is thinking about that. It's like he can't take her there because everyone is going to be like, Dan's a traitor and Phaedra isn't. So let's get Dan out. You know, I think
it's also protects if Parvati is there, then it protects him one more time because like she's also a very big target for the house. Like everybody also thinks that she's a traitor. So him getting a non like someone like Phaedra out who people don't think. Then he has another, like, it gives him also a buffer.
Yeah. I just didn't, like, I hear what my brother's saying, which is, like, there was this thing about him being, like, oh, she's just so extra. And it's, like.
The extra thing is coded. It's weird.
Yeah. It feels like a microaggression to me. For like, sure. I don't really love that. And I just.
He's a Catholic school teacher in, like, Indiana. He has microaggression. I'm not kidding. I think.
Yes. Yeah.
That is his job.
He is? That's his job?
Back on Big Brother, he worked at a Catholic school. I don't know what he does now, but.
He's probably like a micro influencer now.
A micro aggressor.
Microaggressing influencer. Yeah, and that's when Phaedra goes in with a kill shot. I'm very extra, baby. I do too much because you do too little.
That is the fact, like, I don't have words in my brain like that. Tongue. I know. She's fucking genius.
She's so good.
She should
good.
Have ended
it's
the
like
whole
hot.
Thing with check that. Like, she did literally.
And then this room would have clapped, hopefully. So.
I think, but you could tell they were all like, "Woo!" Like, I would have loved to be in the room while that was happening. They looked like
I'm
they
sure
were
it's
so
electric.
Fucking thrilled because everybody's just really, really happy that, like, you know, you're not going to come for Phaedra fucking Parks. Like, she's gonna eat you alive.
Totally.
And she says something at the end. She's like, "You gonna learn today," or something. Or you're like, and I was just like, "Oh God, you're so good, Phaedra."
Wait, what do you guys think about Sandra?
I love her.
Sandra versus Janelle is another matchup that I wouldn't have put together, but boy, am
my
I
mouth
happy
is,
to see.
My mouth is dry.
My mouth is dry. Fuck you.
Fuck you. You're a traitor.
You're the biggest you're fucking traitor.
She's like, yeah, drink
my
that
mouth
water.
Is dry.
The way she says my mouth is dry kills me. So something to know about Sandra for the two, because you guys don't watch Survivor, right?
You guys are CBS girlies. We're not.
So Sandra is someone else that they need to be very, I don't think people are not worrying about her like they should.
So she's the game that Dan is trying to play, but it works for Sandra because she's not a traitor.
Yeah.
But it didn't work for Dan because he was a traitor.
Sandra, the way... So I've said this before on here, but... So if you've listened to one of these recaps before, skip ahead. Sandra has never won any, like, individual immunity challenge. So those are... In Survivor, every week there's a challenge and then there's a winner. She's played the game 5 times. She's made it to the end essentially every time. And she's never... She's won twice. Never won a challenge. Like, that's how bad she is in the physical department.
Yeah. I love her.
And so, but the way she wins is she plays the best from the bottom, like Dan does, where she just, like, manipulates people very quietly and subtly. And by the end, you're like, wait, how is she here? And then she wins.
And you saw it come out in her versus Janelle. Like, she's ready to go to battle. Like, don't fuck with her.
First of all, her mouth is dry.
Also, my mouth is dry.
Braces make your mouth really dry, so yeah. that's about right.
Honestly, I'm happy to get adult braces back on TV because it's also on the season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
It is.
I feel that I if it's needed, then go for it. So I'm glad that there's some sort of like
yeah,
people out there.
Yeah, really, we need to bring more awareness to adult braces. There's a lot going on in the world, but
I'm sure
one,
it's tough. Think, yeah, there is so much other shit going on in the world, but let's focus on that.
Sandra has won $2 million on television, and she's just $1 million is what you win on Survivor. She's won Survivor twice. So she has won $2 million, and she decided in the Lord's year of 2024 to get braces.
I love her for
that.
She
won 15 years ago.
And I love that she's like, it's so funny that you're like, she's so bad at games because yeah, she says it last episode. She's like, I wish that there were shields for people like me and Phaedra who don't like to run.
Yes. Yeah. Like, she's genius. But and no one there, this is a great environment for her because no one there watches Survivor except the Survivor players. And I think she's the only, well, Parvati's there. Parvati knows her game. And so Parvati is a threat to Sandra, but the rest of them don't know shit about how she plays this game. So they're just going to be like, I don't know how you've won so many times.
And if Poverty says anything, they're going to be like, well, you're deflecting because like look like a traitor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think she's going to go really far because it's also, she is an easy like way to like point and be like, that's obviously a traitor because she's exactly like Dan, just not a traitor. So I don't think she'll get killed.
Good. Yeah. Sandra and Parvati have some sort of history, right? They've mentioned that on the first episode.
Yeah, because it's like, who is the queen of Survivor is always between the two of them because Sandra is very good at the game and Parvati is very good at the game, but they're very different players.
What happened
that's
was
why they have beef, allegedly.
Also, you Kix, you say poverty, like you have no money.
I really try not to. I'm actively trying not to say poverty.
You said you said it every time. Parvati.
Parvati.
No.
You said it again.
Parvati.
Parvati.
Yes, there we go.
Parvati.
Parvati, that was all right. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying so hard not to say poverty.
The drama between Sandra and Parvati is so. Parvati has won once, and then a lot of people argue she should have won a second time in Heroes versus Villains. Sandra won over her. So they were in like the final two or three together in that realm. So Sandra beat her. But then they did a winner's season of Survivor. And on Twitter, there was a whole conversation about who is the queen. And Sandra's saying that she always says... is queen stays queen. She says
straightforward.
What'd you say?
Straightforward.
Yeah. She says, I'm actually shocked she hasn't said it on this show. She's always like, queen stays queen. And so there was an argument online that was created by fans of the show being like, Parv is the real queen of Survivor because she actually wins shit and plays the game a little harder than Sandra.
And she plays dirty too.
Yeah, she plays really dirty. But Sandra... It's like, well, I've won twice, so how can you be the queen of this?
Yeah, yeah.
And the third person in the mix that is the other queen of Survivor is Suri, who won Survivor, won La- Traitors
who
last
won season. Traitors last. Well, spoiler alert, Raheel, you were going to watch season.
Oh, sorry.
You know that. It's fine. It's okay.
It's a year old. So.
It's honestly, you're late. Don't watch it now.
Go ahead.
Can we talk real quick about this budding romance between CT and Phaedra?
I actually...
I can kind of see it.
Yeah, and I would totally go for that. CT is so fucking juicy.
It makes me actually mad because I said on Tom and I talked about it on our podcast a couple weeks ago. He reminds me that I like men.
Yes!
a lot, actually. And so I feel kind of jealous of like the girls being able to flirt with him. Because you know he's such a good time, like he's such a good flirt.
He lays it down in the bedroom.
Yeah. Oh my god! And no, forget the bedroom. Like just being able to talk to CT, I would just like melt because he's probably like gives you a lot of attention, but not in a way that like is overtly like making you feel like a piece of me. He kind of presents himself like he's the piece of me, and then you're like, but I'm the piece. It's just he's. Yeah. See, the problem with CT is that CT is exactly the kind of toxic man that like I should not, as like a feminist woman, like not like, but then he is exactly the kind of person that I'm like, I want to be objectified by him. I'm sorry, I
do. Me too. His fashion is so bad, and I look over it so much.
And when men, and Raheel, I need you to just hear this, take this on, and I don't know you well enough to know if you do things like this, so if you do, this is a warning, okay? And if you don't, just remember that I said this.
Thank you.
Straight men should never wear skin-tight hoodies. It's just a weird look. Because, like, a hoodie is meant to be roomy.
Is yours hoodie loose, skin right? tight?
That no, looks good. No, no, no. Good. No, that looks good. Like, you're not busting out of that hoodie. CT looks like if he points his arm in one direction, like,
it's going to rip.
It's going to rip a hole in the side of his sweatshirt. It's painted on. Like, in the way that gays are clinging to skinny jeans, straight men cling to, I guess it's the tops that they like, not the pants. Like, a tight blouse. And it's just like, I don't understand the purpose of this.
Yeah, but I would love to be there when like CT's tight blouse just like pops open and like the buttons go hitting against the walls. Like, ugh.
So you don't know how beneficial that comment was just to me, because this past week I ordered a new sweatshirt, a new 49ers sweatshirt in anticipation of their Super Bowl.
Super Bowl win.
Thank you. That I was going to be wearing at the Super Bowl party, whichever Super Bowl party I go to, and it is a size smaller than I had thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I put it on, and it's basically a skin tight hoodie. And in my head, I was like, well, I should probably get a size bigger. But then I looked at myself, I was like, maybe I could pull this off. I'm going to burn that motherfucker.
You shouldn't. I haven't seen it. You're not pulling it off, unfortunately.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
But in
the end,
you're not going to be comfortable in that. That's the other thing, is like, that can't be comfortable, you know? And you want to wear a shirt underneath it or something like that. Like it just, it's, you'll be comfier.
There's something also about like bare nipples against a sweatshirt. I just don't think that's okay.
I do that around the house. Like, I wear like a big sweatshirt around the house.
Yeah, a big sweatshirt is different, but like a closer, like a sweater against bare nips.
Yes, there's nothing like a V-neck sweater from Express Men's Department. Tight to the skin. Like, that is what CT wears. Like a V, those V-neck cashmere sweaters.
Yeah, but with like a fedora. Yeah. And it's 1,000%
he has fedoras.
His outfit on episode 6, he was wearing like really high boots. Like high, like ankle boots.
I didn't notice that.
And then, but instead of wearing the jeans over them or like cropping them like here, he had the jeans like rolled up here. Yeah. So it was like boot jean, tight jean. And I was looking at it. I'm like, I still want to fuck this man.
That is crazy.
He's just like the hottest blue collar boxing guy.
Yeah, I think that's it. I also have seen every single of the challenge that he's ever been on, and also have seen his arc and change. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, that's toxic because men can't change, but he did.
He does. Oh, God. The music in this show is so funny. There's this one song that plays before they go to banishment, and it cracks me up every single time because it's like these like super over the top, like Game of Thrones adjacent songs. But the one song is, he was a dead man walking to his grave. Vengeance was sweet on my tongue.
It sounds like that Hunger Games song, the look into the tree. Right?
It's so stupid. And it's like, it's so funny because
it's like
be
the
like,
Love Island music.
Well, it's like funny because it's like, this is the song that's playing, but then it'll cut to like Sheree, who's like, what show am I on? I don't know what's going
on. She's on a vacation.
Wait, can we talk about Sheree? This is last week, but we haven't recapped the last couple episodes. Sheree trying to look at a map. The map is very, like, I understand. I'm going to just say maps are hard. Like a driving map, like of like the 90s when you have a map open and you're like, where is my exit? I can see how that's overwhelming.
Rand McNally.
There's a lot of information, right?
It's a lot of info. Yeah.
So Rand McNally.
I can get behind how that is kind of a boundary for people. This map essentially is like Expo marker, like drawn around, like with a little like emoji of a tree. Like,
it's a treasure hunt map that you'll like your parents would draw you.
Yeah.
When you're like very trying to like easy a fun Saturday. Out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, love her. She does win a shield, and I don't think that she knows that she's won one. She's like, all right, I guess. Yeah.
Does she win one?
Yeah.
Yes, she was the one that closest to the bullseye.
The cannonball.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God. I forgot about that. I thought we were talking about the bird.
One. That was last week's challenge, but she won the shield with the catapult in this challenge.
Right. Yeah, this week, that's right. They won Burgalicious, and Trishelle won, and that's why Burgalicious has risen in the breakfast scene.
Yeah, I think Bergy is getting like a beautiful like championship out of this because he was such a like softy and flopped really hard on his season of Love Island.
Okay, can you talk to us about it? Because I've never watched a single second of Love Island and I don't know.
Well, like, don't start with his season.
Well, here's what I want to know, first of all, is like, how does a person like him end up on a reality TV show about like hot people?
I think because it was a stunt casting move, unfortunately.
He probably applied because he was like LOL and then got accepted because the producers were like, it's so fucked up. They probably like so he's surrounded up by people who are like conventionally like 16 pack, big shoulders, like kind of dudes. But so the girls weren't attracted to him. He was like on the first like four episodes. He comes in, the girls are like, oh, that kind of thing. And then he gets, no one picks him. And so, but then he kind of comes back because I guess the internet loved him so much because Love Island is like almost live. And so the internet essentially kind of voted him back and then he didn't last very long. But everybody was like really trying to get people to like talk to him and get him out of his shell. So him being on this is a wild twist because he was so short-lived on Love Island, but I think it's I'm loving watching him because he's such like in him. Okay, and then also with that, Peter too. I think Peter came on the show and everybody was like, huh? And then in last episode 6, I'm like, okay, Peter, you're kind of working.
Pilot Pete is like one of the worst bachelors. Like,
once I mean boring people, they can shine in other places.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you tell that self? Do you say that to yourself? You said it. You said it like a mantra that you like say. You were like, Bergy. Once again, boring people can excel in other places. Boring people can excel in other places.
I don't say that to myself because I'm not boring.
You are not boring. That's why I wanted to reassure you. You're not.
I do think that as Phaedra calls him crazy bachelor pilot, he's another one. I think he's catfishing me because when he wears his hat backwards, any man wearing their hat backwards, another reminder of my attraction to men. Really disappointed in myself when it happens. But like that Pete just like walking around with his backwards hat, riling the people and like
getting mad, like getting kind of being rude.
Being rude, but like righteously rude. So you're like, oh, this is hot. Really loving that. I knew when Alan came in and was like, I have tricks up my sleeve. I knew that they were going to be like, you have to recruit a traitor. And I knew that Parvati's crazy ass was going to try to get Pete. Now
it's smart.
It's the only move. It's the best move.
It's the only move.
If
you kill him, everybody's going to be like, well.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you guys do if you were in Pete's position?
I would not take it. I don't think.
Wow.
Because
really? Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Okay, actually, two things. I actually think the smarter move is to infiltrate his group. Not with him, but with like Mr. Parliament.
Trishelle.
Well, no, I think the British bitch.
The
would
British
be good.
Guy.
that's true.
Who really shined this episode?
Finally.
I wrote down his monologue also.
I don't know what he's saying.
I'll tell you what he said. He said, treachery deserves to be punished by banishment. Banishment, my dear friend, should be your fate tonight. This guy is the silent slaughterer, and that's the sum of it. And then Phaedra goes, yikes.
But I think that might be a better move, actually, because then one of them could kill Pilot Pete.
I know, but I think that they were thinking that they know that if they don't take Pete, then Pete is going to vote off one of those two.
Yeah,
so totally. They were like, let's pull in Pete. Rahil, what would you do if you were in Peter's position?
So I didn't know. I didn't know the mechanics of the game. Like, what happens after you get, let's say, if you get all the traitors off, right? Because yeah. To me, if I am a faithful, it's very obvious that Parvati is a traitor, right? Yeah. So I know at the very least that I can get rid of her. And then I don't know if Alan at that point tells you whether or not there are any more traitors left or not. So if I'm in Pete's position, I don't know. I was thinking that I wouldn't take it because at the very least I can trust the people that I am with right now. But then again, he's like, you know, I have to win the game. I'm like, well, what does winning the game mean? Is winning the game getting rid of all the traitors, or is it the money? The money, again, not that enticing. It's like 90 grand.
It's 90 like grand.
I mean, like, all these people make 90 grand off of one influencer. Exactly. So
wait, so the way you get to the end is what happens is there's the final banishment is just like a round of fire. And it's like, I think the final four. And what happens is you do a banishment, like you do multiple rounds of a banishment around this fire. And what happens is everyone says, is there someone you would still like to banish from this group?
Because you think split they're a traitor. Yeah.
If a traitor is there and everyone is like, okay, I think we did get rid of all the traitors. We're just faithfuls. Let's say this is our final decision. We're faithfuls. Let's take the money. Mm-hmm. And then they split the money. But then if the traitor is there, the traitor takes all of the money from them. So the way to win is to get to the end with, ideally with no traitors, or with one traitor that you know is a traitor that you can banish immediately.
Or if you're Peter, you could be like, or I become a traitor and then I have the whole, this $90,000, I can split it amongst two other people rather than, you know, possibly like having to split over like seven faithfuls or whatever. Like,
the reason I think it would be smart to not take it though is, you end up having collateral with a traitor. So because you're like, I didn't take it, and I'm going to tell everyone that you asked me to be a traitor, because like that's obvious that you would have killed me.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make me a traitor. I'm going to tell my crew that like you tried to make me a traitor. Yeah. So that's only exposing your game more.
Yeah.
And
that's
we can vote them out. And because they can't, if they try and kill him,
yeah,
they're just then going to get taken out the next week because they're making it obvious. That's the thing about this game that's kind of weird, is like you want to play it hard, but you can't play it too hard because then people will just kill you.
It's so that's fun. Why getting I like Parvati. Did I say that right? I'm just calling it Parv.
Parv
made a good move, unintentional good move with like killing Akinsu, because it like was so out of left field that everybody, it would cause just this ruckus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, but then at the same time, it's like you keep heavy hitters in because then people can point at them. Like MJ. MJ's always going to be an easy, like you, they're not going to kill MJ forever. Mm-mm. Because she's an always easy, like if anything, we can point our finger at MJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think with Peter taking it, I feel like he will. For TV, but I don't think it's a good idea for his game, because also like he can still vote Parv out.
Yes, but I think that he can still vote Parv out, and he might still vote Parv out, but then he gets to take her spot, and it's all about like self-preservation, right? So like that's what happens once you become a traitor. You can obviously turn on each other, like Dan tried to turn on Phaedra. Now what I do think is really interesting is Trishel, who's dumb as a doorknob. You want to talk about microaggressions, she's a dummy, but she picked up Dan pointed to Phaedra because he wanted us to know who the other traitor is. So it's obvious that Phaedra is a traitor, and I was like, not Trishel being a little bit smart.
I agree. I was like, oh, you clocked it. I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
Now, something that I'm worried that is going to happen though, because, and I'm actually mad at Peacock and NBC Universal for this, when they put together the trailer for the traitors, they included this clip of Phaedra saying, "I'm not one of your Bachelor contestants, I'm not trying to get a rose to kiss your ass or something like that. She says it at around at a banishment. Mm-hmm. And obviously talking to Pilot Pete. Now, we haven't had that happen yet. So what I'm worried about is that he's going to say yes to being a traitor. And then his first move is to get Phaedra out of the game. Like, oh, turn on the traitors. That I'm worried that that's going to be... Because it's actually a very smart move and an easy move to make. If he becomes mm-hmm. a traitor and doubles down on Dan's promise that Phaedra is one.
Yeah.
Because...
He could.
It is smart, but I think she could probably talk her way out of it.
Yeah, probably. But if I were him, I would just go to Parvati. Yeah, Rahil?
I have a question. So as viewers, are you guys rooting for the faithful or the traitors? Like, do you have a team that you
I'm
are?
Always I'm rooting for the traitors.
Same. I'm oh, always rooting are. For the okay. traitors too.
I am rooting for the traitors, but I was so excited for them when they got Dan. Like, I was genuinely
Me too.
Because Dan was annoying.
I know. Yeah. I was clapping. I was so excited. And
like, it's fun when they get someone out, but I'm also rooting for the traitors. Like, yeah. If they would have voted out Parv, like, I would have been pissed. But
guys, on UK traitors, this is a light spoiler, but it happens in the second episode, so it's not... And it just has to do with the faithful. They have this one faithful on, and the UK version, it's no celebrities. It's all normies. Yeah. This woman comes on with one arm. And she is like very emotional to the group. And is like, this game means so much to me. Because if I win the money, I can finally get a prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
And then the whole... The faithfuls are like, that's so sweet, but unfortunately you are a traitor. And they vote her out. They vote her out immediately. And she's like, I'm a faithful.
No, the producers would have never done that. Like,
it was so fun. I literally was crying laughing. They're like, oh my God, that's amazing. She's definitely a traitor. Like, and I have a question for all of you guys. If you were in the game, which would you want to be, and which do you think you would be better at, traitor or faithful?
For me, faithful. I could not be a traitor. I think it would be fun to be a traitor, but like, because then you like know what's going on. That's where my head goes. At least I know what's going on as a traitor, but I think I wouldn't be very good at it.
Yeah, Kix, you are a faithful through and through. I could never see you as a traitor.
No.
But then that also means you would make a great traitor, but I feel agree. Like you would feel really bad. Like,
feel bad.
Oh, okay.
That's not my concern. My concern is that like I just wouldn't be good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to be a traitor, but I would be a traitor who would be immediately caught because mm-hmm. I would play too hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to be a faithful, but I would be a pretty good traitor because
he
people
would be
tend
an
to
amazing
me.
Traitor.
People tend to trust me, yeah. But I would have a lot of anxiety about it, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah, he would. He would feel awful every time he murdered someone, but then...
But I'd do it.
Yeah, he would kind of be like Phaedra, like comforting yeah. like comforting Larsa as if Marcus died in war. Like,
yeah.
It
yeah.
would be like that. He would be like that, for sure.
I'm what glad Larsa's I... gone.
I'm not. I, no, miss, I miss her. She was so funny.
I don't like her at all. I don't think she's funny.
I think that I would be... I want to.
Do you want us to guess for you? Because we all were going to say the same thing.
I know you. I know you guys are going to say that I should be a traitor, but yeah. I worry about. I'm not like that good at lying though. Like, I don't think I would be good at the brunch. Is the morning brunch is always stressful to me. I don't know how they play shocked. Like, I would be so bad at that. I think I would be too obvious.
You'd be like the Devon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just don't think that it would be for me. But I did see, speaking of that, I did see a tweet. This is from Zach Zimmerman. I'm not on Twitter, but someone shared it to Instagram. Traitors has always been queer-coded because seeing who actually shows up to brunch is a bedrock of LGBTQIA really experience.
It is so camp. The whole thing, the reactions, the hooting and hollering, it is so fucking cute.
Like, you like made it. Who'd you go home yeah. with last night?
How was
night?
Your night last
yeah,
night?
I didn't expect to see you here, you
Did you
fucking
sleep?
Dick slut.
I love your outfit. Yeah. Yeah, you look so good. Look at the spread. Like, it's just, it's so fun.
I think, Tom, you would be very much Kate Chastain Like, yes. Of like you would spend the whole time convincing people you weren't a traitor.
1000%. That is exactly what would happen. And then I would be like, Kate, like, guys, I don't know what else you want from me. Like, I don't, honestly, I don't know. Like, you can continue to vote for me. Unfortunately, I'm not a traitor and it's just going to be what it is. Like, I do. Yeah. I don't think I'd go very far in this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about Kate real quick? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if this is something problematic for me to say or not, but I love the fact that Kate looks like 91% flawless every time. Like, her outfits are amazing.
Why is that problematic? That's wonderful.
But I think the problematic point is the 91%.
It's the 9% because she just like doesn't fix her hair.
Yeah, sometimes her hair is a little.
Okay, she just had a baby when they filmed this. So.
Yeah, how about you back off of her heel? God.
At first, I thought you were going to say that she looks 91. Oh. I was like, what are you talking about?
I love
about?
Kate.
No, I love her.
I love
she's
her too.
Good. I'm glad she's back. I don't think they'll recruit her. That was the one shot they had to recruit her, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So but it's going to be.
But I think she is going to be someone that they all think would be recruited. And I think that they're going to try and kick her out.
Yeah, it's going to be a part two. Of course. And also just because, you know, she's Kate and she was on the show before. So they're just going to assume that. But I agree with you. Like, I think that if I was a faithful, I would also be like Kate because I know people would think that I'm a murderer because of just who I am. And I think that then I would be like Kate. I'd be like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I can only say so much. Okay. Yeah. And then that's it. That's like. Because I don't know. I think that's the other thing. If I was a faithful, I wouldn't know how to convince people that I'm not a traitor. Like, I would give up. I'd be like, you know what? I probably am a traitor. You're right.
You would.
Yeah, I would be like gaslighting myself.
It's me. I'm like,
am I going to the turret every night? Like,
do you guys, Raheel keeps telling me this now. Do you guys think that when they go to the turret to do their little murders, do you think that's a real part of the castle, or do you think that's a set piece?
It's like a hut in the middle of a field.
In the Hilton Garden Inn at the airport?
Yes, literally. It's like a banquet hall that they put.
It's in the banquet
hall. It looks like an escape room, like that is in Midtown, New York.
It just makes me laugh every time. It's like the walks to it in their robes and then like Alan knocking on the door and them acting shocked. I'm like, I love the drama.
Well, you also know that they don't stay at the castle.
I just learned that this season.
What's weird is in the UK version, they talk about going to their, like, it's not a secret that they don't stay there. But then in this one, they like do shots of them like walking upstairs to bed
and pretend they're sleeping in their outside clothes.
Why are we pretending that we're sleeping in this castle? It doesn't really make sense to me.
The Bergie shot of him sleeping literally in the same outfit he was wearing downstairs was a lot. Because I know Nora and I connect on this, like outside clothes do not belong in the bedroom.
Or on a couch. I also don't.
Oh, like wow, couch.
I understand if we're having a party, like it's fine. But like when I get home, I change.
I always assumed, Tom, you were pro outside clothes.
No, what do you mean? I literally, I put pajamas on.
I thought you were dirty, so.
What are we qualifying as outside clothes? I'm a little bit confused.
Did you go outside in it? Perfect. It's outside clothes.
Like, if I had these pants on outside, especially sitting on a subway, fuck no, these pants are not going on my couch and they're not going on my bed.
I will say this. There are clothes that I will, like, I'll be in sweatpants all day. And if I just get in my car to go to a place, I will wear those, like, on my bed. But if I have put my butt on a seat physically that somebody else is a public spot, then I will not put those pants on my bed.
For me, I think I'm looking at it the other way. I think my standard for outside clothes is just low. Like, I'll wear my sweatpants outside. So
but
it's, not
it's more
like
about the cleanliness than the fashion.
Yeah, it's not about the fashion. It's about the fact that they're dirty.
I will just say the cleanliness of my outside clothes, the standard of that is probably also low.
Tom is silent. Yeah, today I wore like...
Tom is horrified. Essentially... He's like, how are you guys from the same family? I don't understand.
Today I wore PJ pants essentially to go to Astoria to sign a lease and... But it felt weird walking out of my home in them because I'm like, oh, these are not outside clothes, but I didn't have anything else to wear because I'm doing laundry.
Got it. Okay.
I wore Baby Yoda pajamas this morning to Starbucks.
Okay, but that doesn't bother me because it's just going to Starbucks.
Yeah, and did exactly. You're not going to sign a lease.
Did you drive through or did you go inside?
No, I ordered in advance and then I went and I picked it up.
Okay, yeah, that's called tough, a mobile that people order. Had to see the pants, yeah. But yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, guys, love Traders and I love you guys.
Love 2 hours later.
I forgot that I had to take my child to a birthday party.
Oh shit, and you do have
started
to go.
30 minutes ago.
Party.
Oh. Aww. Whoopsies.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. Anyway, follow Dumpster Dive at Dumpster Dive Pod.
Yeah, and follow Reality is at the Reality is Pod.
And right? Don't follow Raheel anywhere except for on LinkedIn.
And root for the 49ers in about a week from now.
Yeah, go. Yes. What's his name? Brody.
Brody, but you know what? He's Brody now.
Ron Brody. No, I genuinely, what did you? I
Brock,
didn't hear.
Brock Purdy.
Brock
Purdy. Purdy.
Purdy.
Purdy.
Purdy.
No, Purdy. Purdy.
I know.
Burgalicious Purdy.
I'll be rooting for
Poverty.
Her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brock Poverty is who we're going to be rooting
for. Rock Poverty is someone's LA.
That's a porn name.